بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم completing the chapter on the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his pious servants. And Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu قال ما سمعت عمر رضي الله عنه يقول لشيء قط إني لأظنه كذا إلا كان كما يظن رواه البخاري. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma narrates that every time I heard Umar radiallahu anhu saying, the father is narrating, he's saying that my father, every time I heard Umar radiallahu anhu, who was my father, saying about anything, I think it to be such, it happened as he had taught it. In other words, in a certain matter, he had expressed his view that I think it to be such in this matter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made it such that it happened as he had taught it. So much of wisdom and foresight Allah Pak had given Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. These are known as the Muwafaqat of Umar radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Shah Waliullah rahmatullah alayhi has recorded 24 such cases. 24 such cases in his kitab, Izalat al-Khifa. He mentioned these 24 cases wherein Umar radiallahu anhu expressed his view and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that the hukam and the law was revealed like that. So yeah, there's just a few examples for us to understand. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they take the Maqam Ibrahim as a place of salah. Allah Pak then sent down this ayat, وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُسَلَّى. They take the Maqam Ibrahim as a place of salah. The Maqam Ibrahim, that place, that or that spot wherein it's still preserved up till now. When we go for Umrah, we notice that spot or that place, that up till now it's still preserved, that exact spot that's there. So this Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu wished that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would perform salah there. An ayat of Quran came down that وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُسَلَّى. Take the maqam of Ibrahim as a place of salah. Another incident, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu says, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, command your pure wives to remain veiled as every type of persons come to your home. Allah Ta'ala then revealed the verses of hijab. وَإِذَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُنَّ مَتَاعًا فَاسْأَلُوهُنَّ مِنْ وَرَاءِ حِجَابٍ. When you ask them for anything, referring to the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our beloved mothers, that when you ask them for anything, then ask them from behind a curtain. As Umar radiallahu anhu just expressed this. You know, initially there was no parda, and parda had come down a little later. But before Parda, the laws of Parda could come down, already Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu expressed that they should be, if anything, they should be behind a veil. Then the ayat of the Quran comes down that when you have to ask your mothers, the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for anything, then ask them from behind the curtain. Regarding the prisoners of Badr, it was the opinion of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu that they should all be killed. Subsequently, the following verses were revealed. مَا كَانَ لِنَبِيٍّ أَن يَكُونَ لَهُ أَسْرَى حَتَّى يُثْخِنَ فِي الْأَرْضِ يُرِيدُونَ عَرَضَ الدُّنْيَا وَاللَّهُ يُرِيدُ الْآخِرَةِ وَاللَّهُ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. It is not for a messenger that he takes prisoners until he thoroughly overcomes the enemy in the land. You desire the things of this world while Allah Pak desires the year after. Allah Pak is mighty, the wise. What had happened in the Battle of Badr is that when the slaves and when the prisoners were now captured, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had taken mashura from Sahaba. And different Sahaba had given different mashura. Eventually Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decided that these prisoners should be ransomed. In other words, some money be given in exchange for these prisoners. And that's what had happened, that for every prisoner there was some type of exchange given, some type of ransom that was given. So then the ayat of the Quran came down, that this revelation had come. It is not for a messenger that he takes prisoners until he has thoroughly overcome the enemy in the land. You desire the things of this world. Now imagine, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is relating the ayat of Quran. If ever, hypothetically, well, na'udhu billah, is not possible, but just hypothetically, if somebody were to say that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying Quran by himself, in other words, these were the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, here we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually reprimanding Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in these ayats, that you desire the things of this world while Allah Pak desires the year after. In other words, you, meaning all of you. So now if this was the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَنَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ, if it is something that he's making up from his own side, would he mention words that are now reprimanding himself also? It shows the height and the honesty of the Quran, that even when the ayat that are coming down, it doesn't mean that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did something that was wrong. It means that when it comes to the pious and the great people and the Anbiya alayhi salam, then they should do what is best. You get good, better, best. So they should not say, should leave that is good. They should go for that, not even that is better. They should go for what is best. So this is what Allah Pak is saying in this ayat of the Quran. You should have gone for what was best. It wasn't that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had committed a sin here, but Allah Pak is telling him that he should have gone for what was best. So anyway, this ayat of the Quran is saying that you desire the things of this world, while Allah Pak desires the year after. Allah Pak is the mighty, the wise. So from these type of ayat of the Quran, there are many such examples like this. It shows the intellectual honesty, the 100% honesty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It's not that those ayat that suited what he was thinking and what was his cause he mentioned. Whatever came down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wahi. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam related it as far as Quran is Quran. Quran is concerned, and these ayat that we have in front of us to read today, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned it to Sahaba, and he has come exactly like that to us. Today we start a new chapter, Kitabul Umur al-Manhiyyi Anha, the chapter on the prohibited matters, those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made haram, those things that are prohibited in our Sharia. So as far as these things are concerned, this chapter is discussing this. Babu Tahreem al-Ghibati wal-Amri bi Hifz al-Lisani. This is the chapter on the prohibition of backbiting and the command to safeguard the tongue. It's an important thing to omit backbiting and to safeguard the tongue. When the tongue is safe, then the whole body is safe. And when the tongue is safe, then the mind is safe also, the heart is safe, everything is safe. So this is not something that is small. This ghibat, unfortunately today, is something that is taken very, very light. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we see as we do the hadith and the ayat of the Quran, that such a serious thing it was as far as protecting the tongue is concerned. Something so small, but yet we have to protect. We protect everything else. We protect our vehicles, we protect our assets, we protect our homes, we protect our families. But let us ask ourselves how much protection we got for this tongue. To see that this tongue doesn't say those things that disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as the muhaddiseen would do, they bring ayat of Quran first to substantiate the chapter, the bab that they have brought, and thereafter a hadith. So Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi has brought some ayat of the Quran. قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah says, never backbite each other. Would any one of you like to eat the flesh of his dead brother, which you so detest? Fear Allah. Allah is certainly all-forgiving. Allah Pak is most merciful. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا. Allah Pak says, do not pursue what you have no knowledge about. It's a matter you have no knowledge about. You don't go behind it and try and find out and try and dig in it. And if it doesn't concern you, don't even worry about it. وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِعِلْمٍ. Do not pursue what you have no knowledge about it. Indeed, questioning shall take place with regard to the ears, the eyes, and the hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that you'll be questioned as far as your ears are concerned, as far as your eyes are concerned, and as far as your hearts are concerned also. The person will be questioned on the day of Qiyamah. How did these things be used also? So how careful we've got to be that we use our energies, our efforts, and these abilities and senses that Allah Pak has given us to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. Allah ta'ala says, whenever a word escapes, whenever a word comes out, escapes the mouth, whenever a word comes out, escapes, there is a guard ready by him. There is a person, Allah Pak has appointed an angel, ready to record it. What this person is saying. Record what is being said. So sometimes we think we're just saying anything, there's no record of it. It's a great warning that there's an angel that is there. As soon as that word is coming out, it's being recorded. Therefore, ulama mentioned, and it comes in the hadith also, that a person won't be taken to task. He may have some thoughts in his mind, something may be going through his heart, but so long as it doesn't escape the mouth, it doesn't come out of the tongue, it doesn't come out of the mouth, this person won't be taken to task. So here Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi, now just to finish off this first part, he brings a very, very beautiful usul, a very, very beautiful principle. اِعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ يَنْبَغِي لِكُلِّ مُكَلَّفٍ أن يحفظ لسانه عن جميع الكلام إلا كلاما ظهرت فيه المصلحة، ومتى استوى الكلام وتركه في المصلحة فالسنة والإمساك عنها، لأنه قد ينجر الكلام المباح إلى حرام أو مكروه، وذلك كثير في العادة، والسلامة لا يعدلها شيء. It is the responsibility of every mature person to safeguard his tongue from all speech except that which is beneficial. So the first level is protection. Protect it from every type of speech except what speech is beneficial. There will be some benefit if I speak at this instance. Whether it's benefit as far as the dunya is concerned, whether it's benefit as far as the deen is concerned, but there's some benefit then a person should speak. So this is the first part of this principle. At a time when speaking and remaining silent are both beneficial. Now there is a situation where if you speak and if you remain silent, both are beneficial. What should you do at that stage? So the first level is speaking is beneficial, then the person will speak. Otherwise the person will remain completely silent. Second level, speaking and remaining silent is beneficial, then what should one do? Then it is sunnah to remain silent, because lawful speech may sometimes lead a person to engage in speech that is prohibited or disliked. So speaking at this opportunity is beneficial and keeping quiet is beneficial. The sunnah thing at that time is al-imsaq, hold back, don't speak. Rather you remain silent, because there is a possibility if you're speaking something even that is good, you may be carried away and you might end up speaking haram things. So best thing for you is to remain silent. And the last part is, this happens to be quite often, hence safety is unsurpassed in virtue, what we normally refer to as prudence. So this prudence is something that we should be practicing all the time in our deen, that this safety that we refer to is unsurpassed in virtue. In other words, saving oneself, taking that precaution as far as the tongue is concerned, this is unsurpassed in virtue. So therefore, even when you got the situation now, that whether you should be speaking or that you should be remaining silent, best thing is to remain silent. Why? Because this is the safer thing to do. If you speak, you may go into haram, and the safety is unsurpassed as far as virtue is concerned. So rather you take this path where you remain safe as far as the tongue is concerned. And as far as the tongue is concerned, also remember something, that people have just thinking it to be the tongue, it also refers to what we chat, what we write. The pencil also is a tongue. The tongue that we have in our mouth is also a tongue. Pencil also is a type of a tongue. What we are chatting is also a type of speech. It may be a different type of speech, but it's still a type of speech. Therefore, we should be very, very careful. Think to ourselves, this principle is something very nice for us to remember, that I'm going to chat here, I'm going to say something here. There is a chance that there is good, there is a chance that there is evil. I'd rather do the safer thing and not say it. So this is such a beautiful lesson that we learn. And this will carry a person as far as his marriage is concerned. It will carry him as far as his staff is concerned in his business. It will carry him as far as he is on the road is concerned, when road rage is concerned. It will carry him as far as when he's in a situation, he's in a public, whether he may be in Hajj, he may be in Umrah, he may be on an aeroplane, he may be on a bus, he may be in a taxi. At that time also it will help him and it will carry him. Basically these principles will carry a person throughout life, whether I should say this anything, whether I shouldn't say anything, how I should behave. These sort of principles will take a person very, very far. May Allah Pak give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.